the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail. Hippity hopping, Easter's on its way. Bringing every girl and boy baskets full of Easter joy, things to make your Easter bright and gay. He's got jelly beans for Tommy, colored eggs for Sister Sue. There's an orchid for your mommy and an Easter bonnet too. Oh, here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail. Hippity hoppity, happy Easter day.
Oh yeah, you old-timers might remember Gene Autry. He's not only known for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer at Christmas, but Peter Cottontail at Easter. And that's where we are, my friends. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis, you know, he plays the Easter Bunny on Easter. He goes around giving out eggs. We thank you for joining us on this. It's Good Friday, actually, a day that most people these days don't think much about, but a lot of Christians, Catholics will be celebrating. And it's a very holy day in the Christian church. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Will Reinhart of the Center for Growth and Opportunity. We are going to be talking about artificial intelligence. It's a big deal these days. Is it something to be feared? Should it be curbed or monitored? Or should it be slowed down? We're gonna try and get some answers from Will. So stay tuned for that, just a few minutes. And people living in Florida are soon going to be allowed to carry concealed guns without a permit. Now, is this going to result in a Wild West mentality? A lot of people say that's what's going to happen here in the Sunshine State. We are going to take a look. And a survivor of Maoist China issues a dire warning to people that are taking pleasure in the indictment of Donald Trump. Stay tuned for that a little bit later in the show. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one, the top 10 healthiest cities in the U.S. So stay tuned for that as well. Lots going on today. Don't know if you saw it, but the job growth numbers came out for March. They're not real good, according to most of the so-called experts. U.S. hiring slowed in March as the once rock-solid labor market began to soften because of high interest rates and inflation. It's finally hitting the labor people. Employers added about 236,000 jobs last month in March, and that's mostly in line with what they thought. They thought they'd be about 239,000. The unemployment rate went a little bit lower. It's at 3.5%. That's, 3.5%. Normally we'd be busting our buttons over 3.5% unemployment. Of course, that number is not really totally honest, because of all the people that no longer are getting unemployment benefits one way or the other and are not working, right? So that's a misleading number. But all things being relative, it's a fairly good number these days. Now, the job growth, 236,000, marked the lowest gain since December 2020. So that's almost 2.5 years ago. It's not really good numbers. It means that we're not getting back in the saddle like we're supposed to be getting back in the saddle, despite what you might hear from the Biden administration. Apparently, the Fed is closely watching what's going on. And the question is whether or not they want to raise interest rates again. A lot of people are saying, don't do a doggone thing right now. We don't need you to raise any more interest rates. We are already slowing down in our buying. You see, the more that the interest rate goes up, the less that people buy. There's less activity. There's less economic activity going on, right? Supposedly, that's going to curb inflation. But it's a double-edged sword. So that's where we are right now. Here at Freedom Works, we don't even want the Fed to do anything about interest rates. We would like the interest rates to be set in the free market, where people that are giving and borrowing money work out an agreement based on the situation for both of them. That's the free market at its best. You know, the Fed came along at the... I don't know if this is a coincidence or not, but the Fed came along exactly the same time that the federal income tax, the permanent setting of the federal income tax came along in 1913. It was about 4 years before the beginning of World War I. A bunch of bankers met off the coast of Georgia, got together and decided that there should be some sort of a strong central banking system. They didn't like the idea of all these small banks running around doing what they wanted to do. I'm not so sure that was a good idea. And you know, one of the people that has been railing against the Federal Reserve ever since he's been in Washington is Rand Paul. And his father was the same way, Ron Paul, both of them. They thought the Federal Reserve was like our biggest mistake. Anyway, there you go. Now, I wanted to talk real briefly about the concealed carry law that's going into effect in July in the state of Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis signed a bill earlier this week allowing people to carry a concealed weapon in public. Can't, you know, put it on, strap it onto a holster and wander into a bar or, you know, any kind of a retail store or whatever. But if you have it concealed, you're allowed to do it now. And you don't have to show a permit while you're doing it. You also don't have to take certain, I guess there were certain lessons, gun lessons that were mandated at some point. You don't have to do that as well.
Yeah, when you carry concealed, you have to take a few classes first before you can get a permit.
Right.
So I guess they're gonna.
But they're gonna liberalize that. You're not gonna have to be stuck with it. The legislation ends an existing state requirement to undergo training before carrying a gun outside the home. Applicants for a permit must currently show they are competent with a gun by taking a training course. Now, I don't have anything against taking a training course. It's like...
Yes, you should.
Yeah, it's like driving. I don't want somebody to say, I'm 16 now, give me my damn permit.
Yeah.
And he gets in a car and he hits somebody. No. What do you think, Ed? Do you think we should have something?
You have to take a driving test still, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
You have to show that you can handle a machine. I think that same law should apply for a gun.
Yeah, I'm worried about guns disappearing. You know, the people. I don't know how you jack somebody with a gun and steal their gun, but I'm just worried about guns getting out there. Now, maybe it'll curb some of these idiots that are holding stores up on, and the only ones that have guns are the criminals. That maybe that kind of curbs that somebody will actually, you know.
I think that's the intent.
Derail that, but
I think that's the intent.
You put more guns on the street, there's going to be people that are going to use it.
So you're a little concerned about that, huh?
I'm a little concerned because not everybody should drive a car. Not everybody should carry a gun either.
I think that's a good point.
I mean, you really want somebody that's not taking their medication using a gun or carrying a gun around? I don't know.
Here's what Governor DeSantis said about it. You don't need a permission slip from the government to be able to exercise your constitutional rights. Now, the bill, as I said, goes into effect July the 1st. That'll make Florida the 26th state to recognize what they call permitless carry. Okay? So that means that more states have that permitless carry than do not at this point.
Mm.
Let's see here. As of last month, March, the state of Florida has issued more than 2.5 million concealed weapons permits. Here's the sponsor of this legislation. His name is Republican Congressman or State Representative Chuck Brannon. In the state of Florida, the government bureaucracy will no longer stand between law-abiding Floridians and their freedom to exercise their Second Amendment rights. He says this bill recognizes that while the government has a duty to protect its citizens have a right to protect themselves. So there you go. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, artificial intelligence, that's all the rage. But a lot of people are worried about that, very worried about it. We'll talk all about it with Will Reinhart.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Good Friday. My goodness. Got the Easter weekend coming up. Got to find all those eggs wherever they're hidden. Got to worry about the Easter bunny, the whole bit. Well, in the meantime, this whole thing about artificial intelligence, you know, Elon Musk has gotten into the fray. An artificial intelligence expert with more than two decades of experience studying AI safety said in an open letter, he called for a six-month moratorium on developing powerful AI systems. And he thinks that we're not going far enough to, I guess, to push the moratorium. Anyway, Will Reinhart joins us. He is a senior fellow at the Center for Growth and Opportunity. He's a tech expert, and that's why we have him on, because we're going to talk a little bit about whether or not Elon Musk and his crew, who are calling for this pause, have it right. Will, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Yeah, thanks for having me today.
This is such an interesting and maybe important topic, artificial intelligence. It's gotten to the point where people are actually talking about the fact that it can start to take over on its own if you give it enough aptitude or whatever. You give it enough stuff, enough data into it, it becomes like HAL in 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Oh, yeah. And I went to, HAL famously was built at the University of Illinois, which is my alma mater. So,
really?
Yeah, I mean, so by way of background, I've been thinking and working in the kind of the related AI space now for, most of my career, something like 12 years at this point. I work in public policy full time, but the space that I've been watching for about 12 years that a lot of my friends work in, this is something that finally now is coming to the fray, and it's something that everyone really cares about now.
Yeah. Do we need to worry, Will, about where artificial intelligence is going?
I think we do, but I think that the concerns that were laid out in the letter and what a lot of people worry about, I don't think those are the near-term issues, right? Everyone cares about robots with lasers coming out of their eyes, but the more near-term issue with stuff like ChatGPT is that it allows for easier hacking, and it allows for, you know, it allows for, like, kind of threat inflation, and it allows for a lot more surfaces to be attacked. So I think the real near-term problem is going to be cybersecurity issues, and that the long-term problems that we might see with this are going to be a little bit different. They're going to, you know, they're going to be about adjusting industries to new technologies, which is something that we never do a good job anyway. So the near-term for me, I think, is very much cybersecurity, how it affects, you know, phishing attempts and the ability to try to get people to give away their passwords and to, you know, to try to hack just kind of the current infrastructure that exists right now.
Right. I mean, I think about this. If we have a moratorium for 6 months,
yeah.
Excuse me, or whatever, is China going to stop? I mean, is Russia?
Nope.
I mean, they're not going to say, oh, the United States, okay, all right, yeah, yep. We'll take a pause.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly the other, this is something that I've been trying to talk to people as much as possible that, you know, China is clearly working on something very similar with Baidu. We know that we're on the bleeding edge of this. We're on the frontier of this. I think that in part this is a little bit helpful to reset the conversation about United States and China as it comes to AI. That in fact, you know, people think that we're behind China when it comes to AI, and I think this shows that we're very much on the bleeding edge of this, and we still have some of the best talent working on this. We have some of the smartest minds that are working on this, and I think there's a lot of important emphasis to be placed on that. And also, you know, we need to think about how we integrate this into the national security, you know, broader community, and how it can be helpful, and how it may be potentially be detrimental to us as well. So those things are just starting in the conversation right now.
Yeah, but you worry about the fact that, you know, big names in tech, I mean, Elon Musk, the Apple co-founder, Steve Wozniak.
Yeah, yeah.
Tristan Harris, they're all calling on a pause. What do they know that we don't?
I maybe I'm just looking into this too much, but famously, Elon Musk had the opportunity to invest, and he said that he was going to invest in OpenAI, the creator of ChatGPT. He never gave that money, so he didn't technically invest in this new frontier technology. And what I think is surprising about all of this is let me say it like this. Elon's an interesting case because Elon has said for many years that AI is coming and that it's going to disrupt everything. I mean, I've been around long enough to remember back in I think it was 2015 or 2016 when he said that autonomous vehicles would completely transform the world and they would be here by 2020. And, you know, now here it is in 2023 and we really don't have autonomous vehicles, and there's been a lot of struggling actually to make it work in practice. I worry that at least the people who are on this letter in particular, you know, there are a lot of researchers, really important AI researchers, but I think that there's a lot of bluster here, and that there isn't as much recognition of how hard it is to change companies, how hard it is to change processes, how hard it is to really disrupt a lot of the ways that we do things. There's a lot of potential in the near term and in the future, but I also think that a lot of the people who are on this letter are not recognizing and have a tendency not to recognize how hard this is to actually work in practice.
Right, right. We're talking with Will Reinhardt. He's a senior fellow at the Center for Growth and Opportunity. He's a technical expert. We're talking about this this Elon Musk letter. It was actually issued by, I think, the Future of Life Institute, signed by over 1,000 people. It included Elon and Steve Wozniak of Apple. They argued, among other things, that safety protocols need to be developed by independent overseers to guide the future. They go on to say powerful AI systems should be developed only once we are confident that their effects will be positive and their risks will be manageable. I'm thinking, you know, that's sort of utopian or whatever it is, Pollyannish thinking. Because, like you said, and I fear, China and some of those countries, Iran, et cetera, they're not going to wait around.
And we also have to deploy this technology in order for us to understand the problems with it. And that's the other part of this that I feel is not as well understood. And this is something that at least in the risk decision, you know, let me kind of like lay it out like this, right? You have a lot of people in Silicon Valley worried about AI and related tech. You know, I can't help but think that in part what's happening for them is that they're seeing all of these, you know, all of these jobs getting lost. You see all these companies cutting down, you know, workers and you know, kind of swim, you know, trimming the belt. And so they see that happening at the same time that ChatGPT comes out. And so there's this natural inclination to connect the two and say, hey, you know, we're having a lot of job loss. So clearly ChatGPT is the thing that's creating this, even though they're completely separate in relationship. So I worry that Silicon Valley folks are getting too narrowly in their own lane and not thinking about the broader economy and how things actually work in the broader economy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what it reminds me of? And I can think back to this because it reminds me of when we started discussing how we could curb nuclear weapons.
Yes.
Okay? Because we were worried that everybody wanted to have a nuclear weapon. And, of course, at the time, for a long time, it was just Russia and the United States that had basically nuclear weapons. And, you know, how were we going to work out some deal that we didn't, you know, blow each other up? I mean, they made movies about it, right?
Yeah,
7 Days in May and all kinds of other movies about it. Dr. Strangelove comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
We worried about that. Is this kind of a similar thing about, you know, you got to worry about the other guy, you know, and what he's going to do if you try to slow things down?
Yes, I think you're right about in part it is the worry about nuclear weapons and just the broader worries about nuclear energy as well, right? The fact that you have this very powerful ability to split the atom. And I actually take a lot of cues from the nuclear power history that happened in the 1960s and 70s as well on all of this. That a lot of the same sorts of arguments that, you know, it's going to completely destroy us, we don't know about these technologies, you know, we have to ensure that they're completely safe before we deploy them, that those sorts of concerns are just being echoed similarly today, you know, 50 years later. And to me, that's a very worrying sort of thing because, you know, I think only recently we had, a new nuclear power plant go up. You know, basically we had 40 years where we didn't have any new nuclear in the United States. So I worry that if we do some of the things that's being argued, that we're going to completely stop this very vibrant technology from, you know, being helpful. And there will be disruption. I think that, you know, this is the place where it's going to be the toughest. You know, some industries are going to get disrupted. But at the end of the day, these things can be hugely productive for individuals. It can give them new sorts of access to technology. You know, I'm using ChatGPT almost every single day now to help, you know, kind of workshop ideas and to frame things a little bit differently in my writing. So I see it as a very useful technology, but I think that similarly, people who are in this space aren't recognizing that there's a lot else that's going on in the world, that they aren't the only industry that's going, you know, that other industries aren't necessarily going to get disrupted by this. You know, plumbers aren't going to be disrupted by ChatGPT, I can imagine.
Yeah.
So those sorts of things, I think, is the other part of this that I worry about, that people who are very focused, who are, you know, who are white-collar workers, aren't thinking broader about everyone else and how other industries probably aren't going to be completely disrupted by these technologies.
True, true. But they do talk about how many jobs might be lost. And according to what I'm reading here, anywhere from 9 to 47%. I don't know how they come up with those numbers. But
I've gone into those numbers before, and I am very those are basically pulled out of a hat.
That's what I
tell you. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you the question that everybody has at the back of their mind about artificial intelligence, and it goes back to 2001, A Space Odyssey. Can a computer or a chat thing or whatever you want to call it all of a sudden decide it's going to take things into its own hands? Can it at all ever happen? Is it possible?
So, So the most recent version of ChatGPT actually failed at this. There was kind of a little bit of a, you know, a conversation of whether or not ChatGPT could actually do this and, you know, basically, you know, talk to somebody and try to get something delivered. You know, get a, I think it was a DoorDash delivery. And the ChatGPT, the chat program actually failed at this. So I'm a little skeptical. I'm a little skeptical of, I'm not saying in the future this might not be able to happen, but I think
that's what I'm worried about in the future.
Yeah. Well, but you know, you're exactly right. But we have to build the future.
I don't want to be sleeping in my bed and having my device plotting on how to do me in or something like, or to take over control of my house or something.
Yeah, I don't think the ChatGPT is not going to have that sort of intention. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, good then. I'm glad to hear that, Will. I really am. Listen, thank you so very much for coming on. This is a most interesting topic. Not going to go away. All right, my friend. We'll talk again, I'm sure.
Cheers.
All right. Will Reinhart, Center for Growth and Opportunity. Very interesting. All righty. We are going to take our break. And when we come back, among other things, a survivor of Maoist China is issuing a dire warning to people that are taking pleasure in the indictment of Donald Trump.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Oh, her eyes make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day.
Hey, we are back on a good Friday. Hey, I did something I normally don't do around here. Maybe I'm getting too old, Ed. I spilled coffee all over myself. I try to keep it inside my mouth, but this time it's all over my shirt, my pants, and everything else here.
You know, that happens.
Every once in a while. We make mistakes.
We all get older, you know?
Yeah, we are.
Have you had that moment in your life when you realize you got older?
I've had a few of them.
I just had one the other day. You know what I did?
What?
I bought a pill box.
Yes. Okay.
My pills for the days of the week.
Hey, you know what? That's actually a very good
idea.
And
I leave the top open on the day of the week, so I know I took it.
Yeah. No, you know what? Hey, listen. Been there, done that. When you've got three or four or five different pills, or you've had some medical procedure, and you got to have four or five different things you got to do. Yeah, I do understand that. All right, now, back to something entirely different. The French pension riots, Ed. Have you heard about all of these people running around and throwing, I don't know what, you know, torch stuff, and because they're upset that France wants to raise the retirement age to 64 from 62. You know that the French have always been, with all due respect to the French, with all due respect, they're not the hardest working group of people.
French are lazy.
Yeah. They've always had this kind of, and in a way, I kind of admire it, I think. They've always had this thing, and forever, about, look, life is to be enjoyed, and we need a lot of leisure time around here.
Was it the French that wanted to have a 3 or 4 day work week or something?
I'm
like
sure.
That, or somebody.
I'm
maybe
sure.
It was Greek. Maybe it was Greece.
Well, you know, France is always right. French workers marched, went on strike around the country for the 11th time yesterday in 3 months as the stalemate between the president of France, Macron, and the labor unions are going after each other because Macron and company want to raise the age of work, I should say, of retirement to 64 from 62. Now, here in the United States, I guess that the age that always comes to mind is like 65 because at 65 you're able to start taking Social Security. And people always associated 65 with like a... Although I think we've actually gone the other way and people are working longer here.
Right.
Okay. So, about 570,000 protesters went running down the streets of France, according to the authorities there, with violent clashes all over the place. It might have been more than that. Unions claimed there was about 2 million people. So it'll be interesting to see. It'll also be interesting to see whether Macron, the president of France, who is trying to put this into effect, will survive. Now, here's the deal. They're running out of retirement money. That's why they're doing it. It's like us worrying about Social Security, right? It's like us worrying about Social Security. I mean, if you talk to a young person in the United States, most of them, it seems like, don't think Social Security will survive for them. You know, and I'm talking about people in their 20s and 30s and the like.
These,
they don't think it'll be around.
Now, these people that are rioting in the streets, are they rioters of the age of 60 or 64 years old? Or are these just a bunch of young punks looking to riot?
That's a good question. I'm going to tell you that it's probably younger people. Because, you know, 60s and 70-year-old people, you don't see them running down the street with a firecracker in their hands or a torch, you know, it's you know, or something. It's probably the younger group of people. I don't know. That's they have such a very socialistic approach to life in France.
I mean,
right?
You can be older and riot.
You can.
You have to have
sure
a walker. You know, maybe with
you can throw your walker.
A walk. Well, you'd have
you can toss
gun turrets on the walker.
You can toss your cane,
you know?
But then you're going to have to find out where it went after you threw it.
You couldn't run very fast.
Yeah.
You know,
what if you're in a wheelchair? You can run over people. Can you run over a policeman in a wheelchair?
Antifa's got those skateboards, you know.
There you go.
Well, they use those as shields. They don't ride them.
Well, so, and the unions are continuing to stoke the flames. They're planning a new day of protests. The protests come on right after, I guess they say here, a cordial but fruitless meeting between the prime minister and the heads of the main labor unions. Prime minister is a woman, Elizabeth Bourne. So the unions, and then there's this concern about what are they going to be able to continue to pay these people that are quitting their work at the age of 62? Well, you know, in some cases, we've got a situation here that kind of, we're not at that point where we're rioting in the street, but somebody at some point is going to say something about Social Security. They're going to say, look, let's be honest about it. If we don't raise the rate of money that people are paying into it, or we don't raise the age, or we don't do something, we don't have the money now to pay all the people that are retired. So there you go. All right. Now let's get back to the United States, where our buddy Joe Biden is apparently weighing a proposal to implement the tightest ever regulations on tailpipe emissions. The EPA is expected to announce these new standards, which will impact all cars that are manufactured starting in 2027 through 2032. So we're talking 4 years from now, during a ceremony in Detroit. Of course, they're trying to wean us off of gas-powered vehicles. Listen, we don't need no stinking idiots in Washington telling us when we should wean ourselves off of gas-powered vehicles. You know who's going to tell us? It's going to be the people themselves as they move towards cleaner burning cars for their own personal reasons, and the states want a situation like that, and the car companies will see that they can make these products and they can sell them and people will buy them because people want clean burning cars, or they want quieter cars, or they don't want to stop at a gas or whatever, as long as the technology continues to advance. But the government and the people inside the government are not smart enough to figure out the technology. All they're smart enough to do is to figure out a way to take money out of your pocket and give it to somebody else.
They're so worried about pollution or whatever. You know what there's no regulation on right now? Where are all these batteries going that we're using? I mean, you can't find a yard tool anymore that's electric powered. They're all battery powered. They're no longer gas powered either. They're battery powered. And have you seen any explosion of e-bikes that do 30 miles an hour? They're the people that are 30 miles an hour down the street and don't pedal once.
Oh.
And you've got scooters, the foot on and foot off. Those are all electric powered. Skateboards are electric powered. All these batteries that we're using.
And we toss them into the garbage can, right?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
So
I mean,
they go into a landfill.
When you buy a car battery,
we're polluting with all of the chemicals that leak out of these batteries
right.
in the landfills.
When you buy a car battery, you're charged a core charge. And when you bring that the old battery back, you get your money back. And part of that goes to disposal fee. What are they doing for all these? And these are big batteries. The car batteries. Oh, they're 1,000 pounds.
That's a good point.
Okay, yeah. And now all these other, let's just take a leaf blower. I mean, it's a pretty good size lithium battery. And they only, in Florida heat, they only last a year or two.
Yeah.
Where are all these batteries going?
No,
we're just tossing them in the trash?
We are. That's where they're going.
I mean, we have bins for AA batteries. To throw your old AA batteries in a bin.
Yeah, but everybody's throwing their AA batteries into their own garbage cans.
When I keep, and Paulie, look at these bikes that you see going down the road.
Yeah.
They're big fat tires. And they got this big block halfway through it, and that's the battery. That's a big battery. And these things do 30 miles an hour.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I've not thought of
so
it. It's a very good point.
It's not a couple of AA batteries that's powering these things.
Right.
These are big batteries. Where are they being dumped?
No, you're right. I think it's a concern. I mean, that's the thing. And then we talked about this before, too. We want to outlaw petroleum products, but if we outlaw petroleum products, we don't realize, not only for the heating of our homes and the powering of our vehicles, but for fertilizer,
mm-hmm.
for growing
sure.
food, we need it. It's just amazing. It's a natural product in the ground, and we try to use it to better our lives, all right? Now, to say, well, yeah, but there's going to be smoke coming out, and there's going to be pollution. Listen, man, there's going to be a pollution of some sort no matter what you try, if you really think
have
about
you ever,
it.
Have you ever, the mining companies that get the lithium out of the ground, have you ever seen what they use?
What do they use?
They use a big, big gas-powered or diesel-powered
to do it.
Construction
sure.
hauler that digs into the ground.
Of course.
So you're using that product. Everybody's got to go green and go batteries and stuff. So tell that to the farmers. Where do you find one of those big combines that's battery-powered?
Right.
I mean, they're like 10,000 pounds, these things that you know, scoop up the corn and whatnot.
Yeah.
Where are you going to get a battery for that thing?
You're right. Right. Okay. As promised, a survivor of the Chinese Cultural Revolution has issued a chilling warning on the heels of the Trump indictment, saying that the tumultuous past of communist China is repeating itself here in the United States. This is Xi Van Fleet. He's a Maoist survivor, Mao Zedong, who, you know, instituted the Cultural Revolution in 1947 in China, and his Little Red Book and his whole communist socialist approach to the entire country. He joined a TV program on Fox News, Fox and Friends, and he talked about how Trump was, you know, arraigned in Manhattan, and he thinks it'll be remembered as one of the darkest days in history. He says, you are cheering for your own demise because the date of his indictment would be remembered as one of the darkest days in America when Democrats made our country a banana republic of communism. Of communism. Because it's a matter of taking anybody that you want, taking anybody and literally putting them in chains. You can, you know, if they disagree with you.
Sure.
You know, and that's what the whole thing with, you know, that in Mao Zedong, if you look at the history of Mao Zedong, did you know that he influenced kids to tell on their parents?
Mm.
He had a deal going where you needed to inform the communist authorities if your parents were doing certain things.
Well, they had the what was it? They wanted the kids to think of the party over their parents. No, that was the Communist Party.
The party was more important than the family.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely. That's what it was. That's what it was.
And, well, we're like God and now, family, and
now
and
we're
down
we're
the
looking
line.
For. We say to now we're looking for. You know, find me the man, and I'll find you a crime.
Mm.
That's what they're doing now. You know,
well,
Donald Trump. Well, let's find a crime for Donald Trump.
I've said this all, and to try to get through to people that they're just going to drag them through the mud, and anything they can find. Relentless, and we joke about it. He wakes up every day and asks what he's being accused of today.
Right.
Close your eyes and imagine that Donald Trump was a black man.
A liberal black man.
Can you imagine?
Because they're going after conservative
black
men.
I don't care about liberal. Imagine he's a black man.
Well, we're not.
Can you imagine the racial aspects of that? But it's okay.
Well, the reason I brought
because
up
because he's orange
is because, yes, you're right. The reason I brought up liberal black man. You see what they're doing to Justice Thomas, the black conservative?
Yep.
You know, have you seen what they're doing to him now? They're going after him now with their tongs and their fangs out to get him off the court.
And it's
okay to go after him because he's a conservative.
And it's okay to give the addresses to the Supreme Court justice
after
the public.
That's another thing, yeah. Anyway, it's food for thought about where we are headed when we start doing these things that we are doing to people like Donald Trump. All right, let's take our final break. When we come back, the top 10 healthiest cities in America.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, thanks again for being with us on Freedom Works here on the Tantalk Radio Network. By the way, we are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. And we love it that you're listening to us right now. You have a lot of things you could be doing. However, if for any reason you can't catch us live, thanks to Big Ed, all our shows are on tape, on a podcast. All you got to do is go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. OUR, ourfreedomworks.com. www.thetantalkradionetwork.com. Click on the podcast button, and away you go. All the shows are there. Ed's got the guest for you, so you can check that out. And the top 10, before you open it up and play it, you'll know. OurFreedomWorks.com. All right. Well, this came out just a week or so ago, but Americans are pulling back from the values that once defined this country. It's something that most of us realize and kind of fear, I think. Patriotism, religious faith, having kids, and other priorities that help define what our country is all about are receding in importance in America, according to a new Wall Street Journal poll. This was conducted with the University of Chicago, and it found that the country sharply divides by political party over social trends, such as the push for racial diversity in businesses and the use of gender-neutral pronouns. Some 38% of all the respondents said that patriotism was very important. Only 38% said that. What happened to the other 72% or whatever, all right? Or 62%, I guess it is. What happened to them? 39% said religion was very important. That leaves 61% that don't feel that religion's important anymore. That was down sharply from when the journal first asked the question in 1998. At that time, 70% found patriotism to be very important, and 62% said the same of religion. So we're going in the opposite direction, are we not? Mm-hmm. We're losing both our faith and our sense of patriotism in this country. And I wonder, is that a good thing? I don't think so. Now, you can argue the fact that, well, you know, religion is something that a lot of people okay. But the thing about religion was that it somehow grounded us in some sort of moral values. It grounds us in moral values. When you are untethered like that and you have no grounding, what will happen ultimately? You know, if you have no basis for morality, you know, think about that. That's the good thing about religion. So anyway, I think it's a rather depressing poll. That's all I got to say about that. Before we get to our top 10, Ed, this is a Good Friday, and Easter Sunday is coming up and everything. Is that curtailing any of our sports? Do we have any baseball being played this weekend? Or?
Well, the best team in baseball right now will be playing tonight at home against the Oakland A's.
Tonight, Good Friday? Okay.
And I believe, I want to say...
And we're going to have 40,000 people in the stands.
No, we're not going to have 40,000, because remember, we don't open the top deck anymore, so our limit is 25,000.
We're going to have 25,000 fans.
And Stewie, our fabulous owner, has finally gotten a message and said, hey, we need some promotions here. So I believe if it's not all weekend, it's at least tonight, there will be plenty of $10 seats available.
Oh.
Okay. And celebrating the fact that the Rays are 6-0, the only undefeated team in baseball, there will be $6 Bud and Bud Lights tonight, or at least this weekend.
Well, what do they normally cost?
Probably 10.
So he's going to knock $4 off. That's pretty good. Why can't we have 50-cent beer night again? You know what would happen if we had 50-cent beer night? Know, there wouldn't be one person coming out of the stadium that'd be sober.
And I know it's early in the season. I get that they're 6-0 and they played
That's
a couple
good,
crappy teams, but
6-0 is
you
right.
Know, sweeping a team is not an easy thing to do.
No,
but
absolutely.
You look at the Yankees, who are at $280 million on a payroll. They're two games behind the Rays.
Wow.
And the Mets, who are leading the league in payroll at $330 million, they are 3-4 right now.
There you go.
They've won 3 and lost 4.
Money doesn't buy success all the
time. No. So the Rays just keep
all
doing
right,
it.
Man. I'm rooting for them.
Yeah, they're That's entertaining great. To watch again. You know.
Yeah.
I think they got rid of some dead players. That we're just Kevin
well,
Kiermaier
getting rid
comes
of dead people so, is probably a good yeah, thing because they
stink up.
They're not going to get to first base if they're dead. Hey,
and by the way, the game has changed a little bit too, and that's helped. They sped up the game.
Up the, yeah,
yes.
We've been talking about that. I've always believed that you need to give once the ball is back in the hands of the pitcher, 20 seconds,
and then stepping
he's
off,
got to deliver,
stepping out of the box, and then tightening your gloves
that's another thing.
And rubbing your head.
You want to play games
Come
there?
On.
It's a strike.
Yeah.
There you go.
Games have gone from 3 hours to 2.5.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think it's good for baseball, really. All right. Top 10 healthiest cities in the U.S., Ed. You know, we did on our last show the unhealthiest cities. And, Ed, do I remember correctly that you thought for sure there was a particular city that should have been on there, right?
I really thought San Francisco was going to lead the...
All right, interesting. All right, here we go. Top 10 healthiest. You ready? This is from Wallet Hub, and it's 182 cities that were examined with 43 key metrics, including healthcare, food, fitness, and green space. Number 10, Irvine, California. Good old Irvine. There's a college there, by the way, a state college in Irvine. Number 9, Denver. The Mile High City. Not very
healthy. I've been to Denver. Oh, wait a minute. You said this is the healthiest.
Unhealthiest. Oh, no. I'm sorry.
We did the unhealthy.
We're doing the healthiest, and I'm losing my way. Excuse me, Irvine.
I've been to Denver, and Denver's very clean.
Denver's very healthy.
Very clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for them. Yes, you're right. We're doing healthiest. Number 8, Minneapolis is a healthy city. Yeah, I've heard Minneapolis has always got good reviews.
In competition with St. Paul.
Yes, they are.
Keep it clean.
Number 7. This one surprises me. Washington, D.C. They're very healthy in Washington.
Well, they're not looking in the right spot.
There's a lot of rich people wandering around that are probably eating well, and I don't know what. All right, number 6. Portland, Oregon.
Wow.
I don't know
what
about
part
that.
Of Portland, Oregon are they talking about?
The last
about?
Time I saw Portland, half of it was on fire.
Yeah.
I guess the other half. Number 5. Salt Lake City, Utah. Mormon country.
Okay, yeah.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Mormons are pretty good with dieting. Number 4, San Diego. San Diego.
Probably the cleanest spot in California.
Might be.
On the beach. You've got to live somewhere. Got the beach there and everything.
They got everything going. Yeah. Very great climate. Number 3, here's one that's got a good climate, Honolulu. Honolulu, Hawaii, yeah.
I don't know if anybody said they had a bad time in Hawaii.
Everybody's eating pineapple slices. What?
I don't know if anybody has ever said they had a bad time in Hawaii.
Yeah, probably not too many.
Pineapple and all the spam you can eat.
Yeah, there you go. Number 2. This is sort of like Portland in my way of thinking. Seattle.
Well, yeah, I guess a little.
It's a healthy city, apparently.
Yeah.
I guess because if you drink a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Oh, jacked up.
All right.
Coffee.
Ed.
I have no idea. I'll take a shot.
Take a shot, buddy.
Since Denver was somewhere in the top, let's go with Colorado Springs.
Oh, that's a good guess.
Yeah, but it's probably not right.
It ain't right, though. You know, hold on to your chair. It's San Francisco.
Oh, come on.
No, it is. San Francisco is rated number 1. They are first in food and first in green space in San Francisco. I don't know about the green space anymore.
Green space.
A lot of the green space are being taken up with drug addicts that are lying prone on the ground.
Tents and homeless people hanging out of them.
I know. I agree. But that's what it says.
I want my money back.
That's what it says. There must be a nice area in San Francisco. We just ain't talking about it.
Buying that.
Okay. Everybody have a wonderful Easter. Remember, it's Good Friday. Realize the reason for the season, as they say. We will be back on Wednesday. We're taking Monday off. So in the meantime, please remember, freedom works.